previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
It's a lot of work.
And I hope that everyone has gained 150 pounds each.
Me too.
I hope that it's like me walking into the casting session of Biggest Loser, and everybody's like, oh my God, Kendall, you look anorexic. That's what I'm hoping.
I thought you were going to say, like, casting session of Biggest Loser, and like, oh my God, Kendall, you need to go on the Biggest Loser.
Get ready for a heap and help and a sassitude. Here comes Cliff and Kendall.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Whoa! Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Kendall, how are you doing over there? It seems like it's been so long since I talked to you.
I know. Well, I think we need to change the name of this, change the beginning of that to Two Enormous Fatzos from Nashville.
Cliff and Kendall, the two world's fattest men.
I'm so fat.
Cannot so fit together in any one room.
And that's so why we have to come from across the country.
Yeah. That's why we have to come from across. That's why we had to move. Because literally, Kendall, like they used to say in the old westerns, this town was not big enough for the both of us.
In our case, so, it's truly not. It is truly
not. It's not.
So, Cliff, you know, I looked in the mirror the other day and I noticed how old and fat I'm getting.
Well, it's sad when you realize, when you learn that you are a triple threat, like we are. Some
fat,
people are triple
old
threats.
And bald.
Fat, old, and bald. Some people are triple threats, like Barbara Streisand. She's a singer, she's an actress, she's a director. We are fat, old, and bald.
Well, you know, I was watching, you know, Susan and I have been watching the Seinfeld DVDs.
Okay.
And, you know, you know, a long time ago, Seinfeld used to come on, and George's character, George Costanza,
uh-huh.
I used to always think, that poor guy, you know, like uh-huh. he's so fat and bald, and he wears glasses, and nobody probably likes him, and I have evolved into him. I think just because I was so rude thinking that I have become George Costanza today.
Well, this is another instance of not life imitating art, but us imitating each other,
mm-hmm.
in that... That's what I always used to say, like, because I, you know, I watched Seinfeld, like, real compulsively when it was on.
Yeah.
And so, but, like, in college with Alan, for our frequent guest star, Alan,
uh-huh.
You know, we would play, like, okay, if this were Seinfeld, who would we be? And we always said, we said Alan would be Kramer because he's tall and had weird hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I thought, oh, I'll be Jerry. No.
No.
Alan said, no, Cliff. You would be George. And I was so offended. But now I realize that it's true. But I only have one thing to say to Alan, okay?
Uh-huh.
The jerk store call, and it's running out of you. And so...
Well, you know, to his, you know, defense, I would see more of us just because we're like loud and obnoxious, like, what? I can't believe this happened to us. You know, as us being George.
I do have a tendency to say things really loudly. Things like, the jerk store called. That is something that I do every day in life.
Because of your last statement, I will go ahead and say that that's probably the reason you're more like George. But just because me and you are so much alike, I would automatically assume, what, because I'm fat and bald?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that is hilarious.
And when I asked Alan, is this because I'm fat and bald? He said, yes, Cliff, that's why.
But who would have been Jerry? Did you ever ask that? Me, maybe?
No. You would have been Newman.
Ooh, that hurt. Hello, Newman.
Uh-huh. Now, we didn't have a Jerry. There was no, like, regular guy to be a Jerry. So Phyllis would have been Elaine. That's the closest we got.
But was I ever involved in this conversation? I feel so left out. I feel like when we had that other class, when one of our teachers told everybody they were some sort of fruit, and you and I never got put into that category, I feel like that. I feel hurt that I was never involved in the Jerry Seinfeld conversation.
Well, at the risk of alienating every single listener who did not graduate with us, I will say that you were not involved because it mostly took place like when Alan and I worked there, you know?
Uh-huh.
at the front desk.
Yeah.
And so, I haven't belched in so many episodes.
I was a janitor, damn it.
You were, but not as long as I was a janitor, and not as long as Alan was a janitor. So, but anyway, we were janitors.
Yes.
Frequent guest star Alan and Kendall and I. We were all, and Stuart, if you ever remember him from episodes past,
yep.
Janitor. So, anyway, but we were there, and so you weren't really, like, involved a lot. But the reason that the teacher didn't tell us what fruit we were, because at the end of the year, he told every classmate, and he was like, okay, Stuart, you are, you know, an orange because you have a peel around or whatever. And he would give them an orange.
Yeah.
If he had told us what we were, he would have had to say, Cliff and Kendall, you are the world's largest watermelon and the world's largest pumpkin. And he couldn't give us those world's largest
because he didn't have it.
Because it wouldn't have fit through the door. And so that's why he didn't do that. But he did do that with one of my other classes. He said what a hardware tool we would be. And
what were you, the world's largest circular saw?
No, I was a glass cutter. That's what he said. Because I have a way of just saying things that cut people to pieces.
Cliff, have you ever honestly, not as a joke, took a drink of something and spit it out? Because I just did.
I think that I have, yes.
There is liquid all over the podcasting studio right now.
Well, now I have had liquid all over my podcasting studio. Not necessarily because I said
that. I can't believe I just did that. When you said glass cutter, there was nothing to hold back the liquid in my mouth.
You did a Danny Thomas spit take. Kendall.
Yeah.
The other day, this was a while ago,
yeah,
I called you, getting back on our topic,
uh-huh.
I called you and I said, I'm real sad. I'm real sad about so many things and I want you to talk to me and help me not be so sad.
Yes.
And you did one of the best slash worst things a person can do. You quoted me back to myself and you said, well, Cliff, let me give you a little bit of comfort. Because just think, no matter how bad things are now, one day we'll all be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I did take comfort from that. I really did.
Well, I was feeling a very foul mood that day, probably.
Well, no, but I think that you were right. Because okay, first, before we talk about death,
uh-huh.
Let's talk about getting old.
Right.
This show is about getting old and we're going to die. We're getting old and we're going to die. So, what is your least favorite thing about getting old as a 28-year-old?
Well, you know, I mean, for our generation, I mean, I guess I am sort of old, but I'm nowhere near where I'm going to be. But my biggest fear about getting old is that everything's going to hurt. You know what I mean? Because every day I wake up with something new and I'm like, oh man, my shoulder really hurts. Or oh yeah. My God, my elbow's starting to hurt. And somebody, you know, I asked a doctor about it. I said, oh, you know, my elbow's hurting. And I got hit by a car a couple months ago and I thought maybe it was something to do with that, you know?
Yeah.
And the doctor said, oh no, that's tendonitis, you know, just accept it that you're going to have that. And I thought, you mean I have to have this the rest of my life? Like, you know, every month something new comes along that I should have to deal with. And I'm like, by the time I get 80, I'm just going to be like in pain everywhere.
Well, I think that is a good answer, but I'm never going to be 80. You are going to have to perform my eulogy, and possibly you could play this episode at the funeral.
Okay, sure.
At my mm-hmm. funeral. You can say this and say, excuse me.
Yeah, okay, never mind. We have to cut that out if we play at the eulogy.
No, we can still play this. I want to say to everybody, if Kendall is playing this at my funeral, I enjoyed knowing all of you, and I want to thank you for coming. And if you run into someone who knew me and didn't, you know, couldn't make it to the funeral today, tell them to fuck off.
Well, Cliff, I'm going to have to tell everybody because nobody's here.
Oh! Nobody's here. Okay, now, Kendall, what about your funeral? What do you want done? In case the unthinkable happens and I should live longer than you, and Susan has already long since divorced you and wants nothing to do with your final arrangements, what should I do at your funeral?
Well, you know, I don't want to get too weird here and you think I'm this big, huge, weird fatso, But I watched this thing on History Channel about dying. And one of the things that they do was you can choose to have this special kind of ceremony where, you know, you don't have a coffin. They wrap you in a blanket, basically, and dig a hole in the ground and put you in it at this special cemetery up in San Francisco. And there's no vault, there's no, you know, it's like sort of like an environmentally friendly burial.
Okay.
And part of me really likes the idea of not being in this weird casket in a suit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you go back to the earth like you came from it, you know. So I have I'm only 28, but I have really thought of the idea of being buried like that and not having to worry about having a casket or my eyes glued shut or whatever. They use these weird plastic things to hold your eyes closed. I just don't want any of that. I want to be all natural, you know, just throw dirt over me and let me remain peaceful.
I think that's really good. They did sort of, if anybody watched 6 Feet Under, Nate's wife at one point, one of his wives, she wanted to be buried like that, and so it ended up like it was a real weird subplot, but he like buried her under this tree and then all this stuff.
So it was
like that because she didn't want like any of the weird, and I agree, I don't want that either, but I don't even want to be buried. I know that we've said on the show before, I do have a burial plot already, but I don't want it. I do not plan on using it unless I die and somebody just puts me in it.
Now, does the thought of all that stuff, like embalming and everything, just scare the hell out of you? Because I don't want any part of it.
It doesn't scare me, but I just feel like it's completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's for the funeral.
Well, yeah.
And the viewing, so people can see your body. But I don't... Put a big... Kendall, when I die, I want a large frame portrait taken from above of me, where I look the skinniest. Whatever picture you find going through my personal belongings, where I look the skinniest, just blow that up and put that next to my, I want like my ashes in an urn. And that's all I want.
So you want to be cremated?
I think so. I think that would be the best.
Oh, well, I don't want to be cremated for sure.
Well, see, but my thinking is, I'm not scared of being embalmed. I'm not scared of being cremated because, like you said, I will be dead and I won't care.
I know, but still something scares me about it. I always have this longing fear that maybe we're still there somehow, you know?
I know. Well, but I have that too. But it's, I don't know, like, it's not going to be any better whether I've been cremated or not, or embalmed or just thrown in the ground. I'd still be in the ground unable to move. So. Yeah.
I don't know. All this talk about death has already got me depressed. But
me too. I need a joke.
I need a joke too.
Cheer the F up!
It's time for... Oh, hey, Cliff.
Hey.
It's time for bad jokes.
Well, hey.
Okay, Cliff. Why don't you start us out?
Okay, Kendall. A young man goes into a bar. A young man. And he
Unlike
picks up a tall woman. He picks her up. After a night of drinking and dancing, they go back to his place. She unzips his fly and starts playing with his wang.
Whoa.
Wow, he says, you handle my penis so well. I should, she replies. I used to have one just like it. Only much, 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 much longer.
Oh, I bet that woke him up, didn't it?
I bet it woke that piece of shit up.
Now, Cliff, one Sunday, a cowboy, he went to church, okay? Now, when he entered...
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! When he entered, he saw that he and the preacher were the only ones there.
Mm.
Now, the preacher, he asked the cowboy if he wanted him to go ahead and preach. And the cowboy said, well, I'm not too smart, but if I went to feed my cattle and the only one of them showed up, I'd still feed him. So the minister, he began his sermon. Now, an hour passed, and then 2 hours... And then 2.5 hours. And the preacher, he finally finished and came down to ask the cowboy how he liked the sermon. And the cowboy answered very slowly, well, I'm not very smart, but if I went to feed my cattle and only one showed up, I sure wouldn't feed him all the hay. What a stupid preacher.
What a stupid fucking idiot.
Take that, Pope!
Take it, Pope. Now, Kendall, a drunk in a bar keeps hitting on a lesbian who is waiting for her date. Mm-hmm. And Kendall, this drunk just will not take no for an answer. Tell you what, the lesbian says, I'll sleep with you if you can name one thing a man can do for me that my vibrator cannot. She didn't say that.
I thought she did.
And the drunk thinks for a moment. He says, okay, let's see your vibrator by the next round of drinks. What a clever sleaze bag.
I guess he got him some lesbian vajayjay that night.
I guess that clever sleaze bag.
Now, Cliff, this
what is... can you believe what a sleaze bag?
I can't. Now, really, this joke is a Christmas joke. It's a holdover, but I'm just going to tell it anyway.
Well, sometimes in the middle of the year, like we're in right now, it's the middle of the year, we need a little Christmas.
Sometimes we do. So many years ago, I'm so hot outside. A Jewish lady named Mrs. Rosenberg was stranded late one night at a fashionable resort on Cape Cod, one that did not admit Jewish people.
Asses.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the desk clerk looked down his book and said, I'm sorry, no room, the hotel is full. And the Jewish lady said, but your sign says you have vacancies. And the desk clerk stammered and said very curtly, you know that we do not admit Jews. Now, if you will try the other side of town. And Mrs. Rosenberg stiffened noticeably. And she said, I'll have you know I converted to your religion. And the desk clerk said, oh, yeah, well, let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born? And Mrs. Rosenberg said, well, he was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem. And the desk clerk, he says, well, very good. Tell me more. And she says, he was born in a manger. And he says, that's right. And why was he born in a manger? And she says, because a jerk like you wouldn't, and at a hotel wouldn't give a Jewish lady a room for the night.
Oh.
Take that, Pope.
The Pope is the worst.
He is. It's all his fault.
Now, Kendall, a country boy, this is like us. It's like both of us. Mm-hmm. A country boy ends up in a big city.
Okay.
Now, Kendall, this joke is just like a country boy ends up in a big city. You ever have too much saliva, everybody, and you just swallow it down?
And that's so what she said.
And okay, so there's a country boy in a big city, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's walking around in awe of everything. He just can't believe it. He decides to quench his thirst and enters a bar. After a couple of beers, he goes to the can. Walking in, he is shocked at what he sees, Kendall, and he quickly leaves. The barkeep asks, well, what's wrong? And the country boy replies, well, you wouldn't believe what's going on in there. What? Asks the barkeep, and the country boy is shaking his head. He says, well, there's a guy standing at the urinal being cornholed by a guy behind him, and that guy's getting his fudge packed by a guy behind him. And the bartender leans in closer. He gets real serious, Kendall, and he asks the next question. He says, the guy in the middle wouldn't have been wearing a yellow t-shirt, would he? I think he was, says the country boy. Why? And the barkeep says, well, that damn fool is lucky at cards, too.
I'm going to have to pray on that one a little bit.
Do you not? Are you so that you don't even get that one?
I didn't get that one. But, it was hard to concentrate for that long. So that could have been the reason.
You are going to have to prayerfully re-listen to that one.
I will. Now, I have one more, Cliff. And this one, I believe you told before, but I found it, and I thought, why the hell not?
Why the hell not?
So, Forrester, he is very much bored with his job in the Forest Mountains. He is bored because he hasn't had sex for many years.
Whoa!
And he decides to go down to the valley to look for females. Now, before going down, he promises himself to have sex with the first female he should meet on the way. He then embarks on his journey, and in a short time, he happens upon a female horse. Now, he just can't control his urge for sex, so he says to himself, I will have sex with this horse because I just can't wait anymore.
That happens all the time.
That's what happens to me. So he chases, I'm just kidding. He chases and chases and chases the horse, but he can't catch it. So while chasing, he hears a voice crying for help. He immediately runs to the source of the voice, where he sees a man trying to rape a woman. He hurries to help her, and he is successful. And in return for his heroic behavior, the woman says, "For saving me from that sex maniac, name your price, I'll pay it anything. I mean anything." And the man says, "Really? Are you sure? Anything?" And the woman says, "Yes." And so he excitedly says, "Come on and help me chase that horse."
I'm going to pray for all of you.
Oh, good.
All of you horse out there. I'm going to pray for you.
Ooh,
now, Kendall, real quickly, Kendall, this is more of an aside, less than a joke. Now, Kendall, the other night, I had some gay burglars. You know what happened? They broke in and they rearranged the furniture.
Oh, that is so stereotypically wrong.
Can you believe those homosexual burglars?
I would think that you of all people, Cliff, would have a little bit more tact in talking
Kendall,
about gay
that,
people.
That just shows I can take a joke.
Well,
Bette Midler used to say, "Fuck them if they can't take a joke," and I don't want anybody. Well, maybe I don't want anybody to be saying me. He can't take a joke. You know, so you know, work that out for yourselves, listeners. I have to take a break.
I do too. Thank God.
We're getting old. We're gonna die, but I gotta take a break.
I gotta take a break and ponder life. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages. Or after Cliff and Kendall return from the refrigerator, whichever happens first.
You may have read the book, War and Peace. But if you haven't read the autobiography of Cliff and Kendall, then you have yet to read the largest book in history. The autobiography of Cliff and Kendall starts at our childhood, back in the dirty South, and our rise to stardom and fame on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Get your copy at Cliff and Kendall. Today.
Now let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
All right, Cliff.
I'm so old and I'm gonna die.
I'm so old, Cliff. You know, I'm wearing glasses, I'm going bald, I'm fat, you know, there's only a few things I have to look forward to.
Here's the thing. When I was young, when I was a little kid, it never occurred to me that I would age past the age of 18.
Uh-huh.
Like, when you were a little kid, did you think, well, I guess you don't, because when you look at somebody old, like, when you look at somebody who's 30, you don't think, oh, they're so, you know, they're just 30. You think, oh, who is this old adult?
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird because, you know, when we were younger, we would look at teachers and such as, like, the older, wiser people or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, most of them, now that we're older and I look at them, I'm like, oh my God, I'm the same age as the teachers, you know.
Yeah, it's
and
a lot of
so,
them.
I don't know, it's just weird being this old.
It is constantly being weird. I try to think of, you know, like, I'm just gonna, because there is no choice but to keep getting older.
It's, yeah, you
it's
can't
not like,
not run it.
We can't do anything. We are not rich enough to, like, have any work done, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just have to get older and try to do the best you can and keep a little bit of your dignity.
I have a weird newsflash, Cliff.
What?
We're old!
I know. But okay, I knew I would be old, but like when you were young, one thing I bet you thought you'd never be, like me, I never thought I'd be bald as a billiard ball. But
I mean, you know, you think about getting old, but you don't think about getting bald or fatter. Which we both have done.
Well, I'm not as fat as I was when I was 18. I'm not nearly so fat. But
I
am a lot balder.
Now I'm fatter than I was when I was 18.
Well, see, I'm a lot skinnier, but I am much balder. And I remember, who was the first person that like tapped you on your shoulder and said, "Kendall, I think you're losing your hair."
Probably my good old wife.
Well, see, there was a guy that I hung around with, uh-huh. We'll say in quotation marks, right after I graduated
you
from high school.
Hung around with. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he said, "Oh, I think your hair's getting thin." And I said, "You know it is not, you piece of shit." And I thought that that sounded like George Costanza, right?
And you stopped, quote, hanging out with him?
Shortly thereafter. And I thought, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He knew. Kendall, he knew.
Yeah. The truth hurts, Cliff. It hurts.
It does. It does. And sometimes I just can't wait to die.
But you know, one of the most important things about getting old is being graceful.
You gotta be graceful.
And there's one person that always...
You gotta try to grow old gracefully.
And there's one person that always comes to our show and tells us exactly how to be graceful.
Oh, God bless her.
And that is our wonderful good friend, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, with an etiquette tip.
God bless her.
Hello again, it's Mrs. Butter 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 Churn here. Today to give you an etiquette tip about aging gracefully. Oh, time and time again, I've overheard people in shopping malls say about me, "Now there's a lady who knows how to dress her age." Oh, yes, as one gets older, you simply cannot dress like Lady Gaga anymore. My rule of thumb is for each decade that you cover up one more body part. Oh, so look out, Cher. Pretty soon you'll be wearing the world's sexiest parka. Oh, but covering up isn't the only way to stay youthful. You must also use moisturizer and sunscreen liberally. You cannot be conservative with things like aging. Oh, listen to me. I sound like a beauty consultant on Fox News. Oh... Now, another way of staying young is to surround yourself with people older than you. If you are still in your 60s or 70s, you could volunteer in a nursing home. As for me, well, I just say that my boyfriend and I enjoy plenty of picnics at the cemetery. Oh, well, that's all for today. Remember, getting older happens to all of us, but we all have the choice to make it nice. Goodbye, loved ones. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. That was quite an etiquette tip.
That was such an etiquette. That was an etiquette tip. Now, I do feel like she bumped into a few things. We had too many things stacked up in her recording booth.
Well,
there.
I think she had been in the sauce a little bit.
Can I make a confession to you right away?
Of course.
I don't think it's going to surprise anybody that we're doing this show on our computer.
What?
I don't want to break the fourth wall, but we're doing this show on the computer.
I feel like we are on Roseanne and we just saw our television.
I know. But I have a wallpaper, you know, on my computer.
Uh-huh.
And it's inspirational. It's supposed to be inspirational to me to not eat ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what it is it's glamour shots of like Zac Efron and my husband Jake Gyllenhaal,
yeah,
and Justin Timberlake, and they're all like in various stages of shirtlessness. And they're all very beautiful, but it's one thing, it does two things to me simultaneously. It makes me feel bad about myself, which is its intended effect. And it also makes me real horny. Do you have anything like that does both of those things to you? Other than your wife, Susan?
There's nothing really that makes me feel both of those things at once. I guess that is completely unique to you, because I either feel horny or, you know, completely insulted, one or the other.
Those are your two emotions, horny, yeah, and completely insulted.
They never go together. Oh, man.
So if you ever see Kendall out, like in the mall, and you want to get his autograph, if he does not look completely insulted, beware.
He may mount you. Well, you know, I know we've been talking about getting old, Cliff, but, you know, the other part of it is dying, and we have touched a little upon it, but I had the fortunate, instance to sit down with none other than Death this week and have a little interview. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you now.
All right.
Well, hello, should I call you Mr. Death?
You can call me whatever you like, dear.
Okay, well, Mr. Death...
You're going to die just the same.
Well, yeah, of course we're all going to die, but let me ask you the first question that's most important to me is, are you here for me right now?
No, dear. You are going to die. I know when you're going to die, but don't ask. I can't tell you. But I'm not here for you just yet. Let me ask you this. Have you seen Mr. Snodbottom around?
Well, yeah, he was in the studio earlier this morning. Why?
No reason, no reason. Next question.
Well, my next question was, when am I going to die? So I guess I'll jump past that one. So, Death, or Mr. Death, excuse me, what does your job really entail?
Well, you know, I do wear this long black cloak, and it hides my figure. You understand the need for that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I sort of walk around, and I see who is about to bite the bullet. And I go to them, I read their name off a list. I'm a lot like Santa Claus, right? I have a list, and I check it not once, not twice, but I check my list but thrice. Because every name eventually winds up on the list, you understand? But I do try to take the names and check them off in order. But if I see someone who's on the list, you know, coming up very soon, and I bump into them a little bit early, you know, I follow my heart, is what I'm trying to tell you, Kendall.
Well, I'm starting to worry about having this interview so soon.
That's true.
So, okay, let me ask you about your scythe that you carry. Why exactly do you carry that?
First of all, dear boy, it's pronounced scythe.
Scythe, excuse me. I mean,
I carry that because occasionally, dear boy, when I meet someone and I need to collect their soul, it's not as simple as all that, dear. Sometimes they sneeze it out. The Native Americans used to sneeze their souls out just readily. But there are so few Native Americans around these days that sometimes, especially, they're different these days, the people. And so I have to use my scythe and I hack them open. Ooh. To retrieve the soul. It's not pretty, but they're already dead and they really don't feel very much. But I've got to take the soul. You understand, dear boy?
That sounds terrible. I mean, I thought it was always because you would harvest souls, you know, like a farmer. Let me ask you this. What is the worst part of your job?
The worst part of collecting souls, of being death, being the Grim Reaper, as I've been called in popular fiction, the worst part is people think that I have skeleton bones as hands. But I don't. I just have regular hands. With 6 fingers and 6 toes, but not skeleton bones. I'm not a skeleton, after all. I am death.
Well, what is the best part of your job?
The best part of my job is being so famous. And it's always nice when I see a photograph of myself on the internet or in an old ancient textbook or my image used to sell something. I just love it. You know, you never get over. A singer never gets over the first time that they hear their song on the radio. And I never get over seeing my visage up on a billboard.
Oh, well, I know the feeling of that, hearing your own voice on the radio.
Now,
yes. A lot of listeners are really confused. Do you actually work for Jesus or God, or are you just part of the universe, or how does that all work out?
Well, I'm part of the universe. Jesus and I, we're on the same payroll, you understand?
Oh, okay.
But he is in no way my superior, but we're both here. We're in the way that... You know, Regis Philbin and Diane Sawyer both work for ABC, but they're not really affiliated with one another, you understand?
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Now, I have one last question. What is the phrase, looks like death eating a cracker? Like, what's up with it?
Looks like death eating... I have to admit, dear boy, I've never heard that phrase before. No,
really?
What does this mean to you? Death eating a cracker? I mean, I've eaten some crackers.
Well, the popular analogy of death, it looks like death eating a cracker, someone that looks really deathly ill, and, you know, death is just, you know, bones, so it's like something so dry, eating a cracker that's so dry, you know, it just means that someone looks very ill or bad or grave or bad, you know.
Well, again, I have to go back to my previous answer. I do like it because I just like hearing my name come up. You understand?
Mm-hmm. No, I know exactly. Well, actually, I'll have you one last bonus question. Since you're death and all, do you know the meaning of life, the universe, and everything?
No, as people, if you walk up to them in a department store, if you walk up to someone in the men's department and you say, "Excuse me, do you carry this brand of baby stroller?" They would say to you, "I don't work in that department, so I don't really know." So that has to be my answer. I don't really work in the department of life, so I don't really know. It's not up to me, you know.
Oh, okay, well, I understand. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I know you have many items of, business to attend to.
Lots of business, dear boy.
And I hope I don't see you for a while. Thank you very much, Dad.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
All right, Cliff. Well, that was my interview with Death.
That was great.
I have
How
to say,
exciting.
I was pretty terrified to meet and talk to Death. It wasn't the most exciting moment of my life.
Well, you sounded terrified. I have to hand it to you.
Oh, I was. You know, death is always a terrible thing to come to us, and it's hard to deal with, and it's hard to grasp.
It is hard to grasp.
And it's also really sad for a lot of people.
It can be sad.
Oh, it feels just like this music, Cliff.
Oh, I can't hear it. It's so sad.
Oh, it's terrible. Hold on, let me wipe my tears away while I try to get through this ending.
Wipe them away.
Now, listeners, if you're afraid of death or you want to, you know, take comfort in our show, you can check us out at iTunes by searching Cliff and Kendall. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on MySpace. Our website's cliffandkendall.com.
cliffandkendall.com. Facebook.com/cliffandkendall. We are constantly Twittering.
You can call us. Our number is 818-308-4FAT, 4328. Yep. Or you can leave us a message. We'll play it on the air. We'll be happy to. We're always happy to have you call in, email us. Our email is cliffandkendall@yahoo.com. We're everywhere. I can't think of all the places we are.
cliffandkendall.blogspot.com. Now, Kendall, I have a quote.
Tell me.
Time is a great teacher, but unfortunately, it kills all its pupils.
Oh.
And that was said by Hector Berlioz.
That was sad.
Wasn't it sad? Oh, like this music, it's so sad.
Now, I have a fun one. Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
And that's Mark Twain.
Oh, what a hilarious jokester.
He is a jokester. I love Mark Twain. Well, Cliff, why don't you go ahead and take us home to that Deathly Road.
Take me home, Deathly Road, to a place I belong. Cliff and Kendall, really old. Take me home, Deathly Road. I'm Cliff.
Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
We love you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.
Thrice. Excuse me. That was my soul.